Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today's final episode of season one is Risky Riscardo.
We're starting off strong today. Yeah.
Ricky asks for a raise. And this
you,
was...
Wait. You also took a pause between the final episode and this season. And I was like, yep, final episode of the podcast. That's it. Bye, guys.
I'm going to edit that part out and just let it breathe. And they're like, what happened? Where'd they go? They gave up.
Yeah, we gave up. Nope, go ahead. Sorry.
So again, this is season one, episode 35. And this was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll. Filmed May 2nd, 1952. And the synopsis is, at Lucy's urging, Ricky tries to pressure his boss into giving him a raise, only to get him fired. To make things right, Lucy and the Mertzes book every table at Tropicana and don various disguises, only to storm out when they hear Ricky Ricardo is not playing there anymore. I think I just did the entire episode.
And, well, this, and all right. Well, that was great. Thank you for coming on.
On My Favorite Husband episode, George Tries for a Raise, episode 57. Of course, that's Lucia Ball's radio show. Now, from the Paper Moon Tumblr, which we have to give a huge shout out because whoever runs the Paper Moon Tumblr is just overflowing.
You guys, if you are
Paper Moon,
reach out to us, please. We would love to interview you. And I use them for every podcast. So yeah.
They are just an ocean of information. Yes. And here is the blurb is, while rehearsing for this particular episode is when Lucille Ball found out she was pregnant again. And at first they thought this would mean the end of the show, especially since this was the last episode of the season. It was Ryder. Oh, again, a side note, because back then being pregnant is kind of either a career ending situation or just, especially she was in her 40s, you know, and doing this show, they're probably like, well, that was a good run. And, you know, that's one for the history books. But of course, they came up with the idea that Lucy should be pregnant on TV, which is a whole thing. We'll get into season two with that. And due to her pregnancy, they filmed four more episodes before the summer hiatus began. Then they came back in early August to film as many episodes as possible before Lucy's due date. So she worked hard. I mean, you know, she wasn't 20.
Can you imagine? Mm-mm. I mean, I know that a lot of actresses do this now, like nowadays. I mean, it's not horribly, but pregnancies are written into shows.
Oh, it's not a big deal now.
Even them, you know, could you imagine just being pregnant and working on a set? Ooh,
Timing, the hours, rehearsing.
I had a hard enough time being a waitress while I was pregnant. I was
I mean the stress
and then the food
that. You're right. And when the show revolves around you, it's not like you can take a day off and say I won't be in this episode. You are the show, right? So
exactly, she wasn't just a guest star that you know could be written out for a little bit. You know,
it'd be weird to, she's not here this time. So
of course they do write her out for a few episodes when they do the flashback episodes.
Oh yes, yeah. But she's still in it
now. But she's in it. Yes, yeah.
Let's open up the show. They are getting ready for dinner with the Littlefields.
Yes. This is the second and last time we see the Littlefields.
Mm-hmm. We just talked about them in Lucy's schedule. Is when we introduced that couple.
Yeah, but Ricky is, you know, he's getting ready, and Lucy comes in. She's like, "How do I look?" He doesn't even look at her and says, "Fine." She's like, "How can I look fine? I'm on this old house dress." And she has a reason why she's in an old house dress. Her hair's done a bit differently.
It's bigger and poofier.
Fuller. Yeah.
Fuller. Mm-hmm.
I think she just, because if her hair's fuller, maybe her face looks thinner.
Yeah. Well, she does say that. Maybe she's sucking her cheeks.
She just looks like a fish. Anyways. what she's trying to do is have Ricky ask Mr. Littlefield for a raise. Mm-hmm. They've come to the end of the contract and he's re-upping for the next year. And Lucy's like, all right, you have to ask for this contract.
I wonder how much time went from Lucy's schedule episode to this because he just became Mr. Manager at the Lucy's schedule. And now he's all of a sudden asking for a raise. So how much time, you know, elapsed between those two, episodes? So like you said, there, Lucy's kind of, you know, egging him on to ask for the raise because Ricky's now in this scenario, are you Lucy or are you Ricky in terms of personality?
I don't know. I feel like I'm a mixture of both. I definitely have told Colin he should ask for a raise. So there's that. If I had to ask for a raise, I'd probably ask for one like Ricky.
You don't have any more money to give me, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm more like Ricky because the anxiety of listen, you mentioned you were a waitress. I am that person that if there's something wrong on the plate, I'm just going to let it go. Unless it's like, you know, I asked for steak and they gave me spaghetti, then, you know, but if it's something like, you know, not cooked or something just off, I'm just going to, you know, or my husband's personality is like, bring everybody in this restaurant and let me tell them what's wrong with this plate. And I'm like,
every single person.
I'm going to eat it. So yeah, I'm more like, yeah, the anxiety of asking someone for a raise is too much for me, but she's trying to build them up, you know, to get this raise.
They run through some scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, so Ricky's is a flop where he says, you know, you don't have any more money for me, do you?
Yeah.
And then Lucy, we need to discuss how much of a raise you'll be giving me, just like jumps right into it. Yeah. You know,
and what I love is the role playing she does, that he's weak, bloated, and vulnerable after dinner.
After
so
a meal.
She's pretending she's, you know, she's rubbing her belly and saying, yes, my boy. and you know, that's exactly what he sounds like later on. At the last scenario, he ends up getting the raise.
And then Ricky says, well, I hope he, you know, is that sensible or something?
Yeah, I hope it works that way. Yeah.
And she, so that's the first, at this point, I can't remember exactly what he says, but that's the first time she makes fun of his accent. And she makes fun of it 3 times in this episode, which isn't a horribly large amount, but that's more than, you know, an episode, but there were 3 different times.
The word you were trying to think of and the mocking is logically.
Logically,
yeah,
there you go.
That's the word, because he has a hard time with that, which is a hard word, let alone if you have an accent, it's a second language. So yeah, that's what he was trying to say. So then it cuts to the living room, you know, and like you mentioned, she's wearing just a house dress and her hair just, it looks like, you're not paying us enough, that's why I'm not all glammed up, or you know, I don't eat much because you don't pay us enough. And it cuts to the living room, and there we have, like in Lucy's schedule, Gail Gordon and Edith Meisner.
Which we discussed last time. They're great actors and actresses. And I wish that we had seen more of them. I think they missed opportunities for funny episodes. But they're just, they're talking, they're chit-chatting.
Well, he compliments. Now, here's the thing that stood out to me, and it's probably a sign of the times, you know, going back again to Lucy's schedule, the food is great. He's saying and he looks over at Ricky and says, your wife is a great cook. She's right there. Compliment her, you know, because after he says, you know, your wife is a great cook, she's like right there. And she turns around and says, well, thank you. You know, because I'm the one who spent all day in the kitchen, but it's just, it's interesting.
I have some family members that do that. They'll talk to Colin about me,
you in front of you.
I'm like, hello, hi, I'm here, please speak to me.
It's a great conversation opportunity, other than, you know, it's kind of like being called Mrs. Ricky Ricardo, like you don't have an identity, so it's just kind of the same thing. And the next thing is, you know, I want you to get Mrs. Ricardo's recipe for cheesecake. Like,
yes. Like, yeah. If she wanted to, then she can ask. Like, that shouldn't be something that's forced upon, you know. Or you could be like, I really like that. Do you think you could get the recipe?
The delivery. The way it's, yeah, but it's like, I want.
Because I can understand that.
So you do that. I want to him.
Yeah, I really like this. Please start gesturing. And I really like this. Because like how it's Lucy plays it off. She's like, but they're gesturing. Lucy's like, okay, ask him now. That's what the gestures are.
The cue.
And Ricky's like, no. So Lucy's the one who brings it up. Well, he, you know, Mr. Littlefield's, you know, he asks if she said something, mm-hmm. and she went, no, but Ricky has a question for you. It's one of those things where, like, you know, petty childhood thing.
Yeah.
You know, when, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of people want to ask something, mm-hmm. you're like, no, I don't want to ask it. She has a question for you. And then you don't have to ask the question.
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's egging him on to ask. And here's what I love is that they're pretending that he's got offers coming in from other places for him to leave the Tropicana and go elsewhere and maybe make some more money. And, you know, Mr. Littlefield's like, oh, how many such offers have you got?
Why did you say 12?
Lucy's like, 4. He's like, 12. I got 8 more this morning. Like
this morning. Okay. That's a bit much.
She's like, oh, okay.
You got you 8 can see more. Her face like, oh, all right.
8 more. That's hilarious.
Really took it and ran.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, that puts me in sort of a, you know, because first he says no. He starts off by saying, no, I don't have the money to give you a raise. And he's like, I got it. I get it. Totally. It's fine. You know, where, and that's when they start talking about, or Lucy comes in and says, well, you're going to have to take one of those other offers. Cause he was ready to just drop it because he's okay.
Right.
He said, no. Okay,
great. Good to know.
Yeah, that would be me.
Pouring Miss Littlefield some coffee. All right.
That's right. She pours her coffee and then, you know,
poor Miss Littlefield. We'll talk about this later, but all I think is she's a poor woman. Anyways.
Just overall, poor woman.
Yeah. They're talking about these offers. And yeah, Mr. Littlefield's like, well, you know, he's weighing his options, right? Like, I could either pay him more or he could take one of these other options. And he goes, you know what? You know, I want you to be successful, you know, and I really like you. So take one of the other options.
My boy.
My boy.
And he's like, oh, you hold on. Let's let him reconsider, dear. Let's give him a second chance.
Lucy says, let's give him one more chance. I like that part.
And he's like, no.
Nope.
And the way he says it, though, is what really turned Ricky off. I think it wasn't just a no, I can't. It was a N-O. And when someone spells it out for you, I don't care what conversation you're having. It's completely over because that's.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, I quit. K-W-I-T.
I forgot about that. He started spelling too. And then Lucy's face is like, what?
But yeah, then so. This is where I say poor Miss Littlefield, because she's literally just over there drinking her coffee, not bothering anyone. Mm-hmm. And Lucy turns to her and she's like, and don't think you're going to get my cheesecake recipe. And she goes, what?
And I do. It's between you guys. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she's, but that's it. That's the last we see of her. Oh, no. She pops up later.
No, she pops up later. Yeah, again, does. Poor woman, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, right. I just thought
oh,
about
it's you.
So, yeah. So he's, you know, quitting there. And, you know, the next time, the next scene is Ethel is there. And, you know, they're chatting about this depression that he's in, this slump now, because he's now out of a job because of this. So he hasn't gotten out of bed for the last couple of days and is just kind of moping around. Then he does pop out all dressed up, ready
to
go.
He's fully dressed. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Lucy gets really excited. She's like, yay, you're going to go find another job. You know, and he goes, no, I'm going to go to the unemployment office. Now I tried to look it up mm-hmm. and I couldn't figure it out. Like how unemployment worked back then. Like after 2 days, you can go get a check from the unemployment office. Like,
well, maybe he just went to apply where, you know, you and I would do it today online or a call. I think then you'd have to show up in person. And that's probably, I don't think he's going to come home with a check because okay. Lucy says to him, you'll be bringing home a paycheck, you know, any day. And he's like, yep, sure am. Cause I'm going to go down to the unemployment office. And so maybe it's just an application sort of thing. And then in the meantime, he's not, you know, but
maybe. Okay. That is a difference though. Cause they don't have unemployment offices anymore. Do they?
I think there's, here in California, I can think of 2 EDD offices, unless they're no longer in existence. I do know everything's done online, so I don't know.
Well, yeah. Interesting. But he says he's going to go to the unemployment office, and this gets Lucy. Let me she's quite worried. She's like, all right, I've got to make this better, you know.
Yeah, I got to fix this.
She, so at one point, she told Ethel that she, it was her worst egging, most rotten egging
that she's ever done, right? Yes, because she egged them on.
Yeah. So she decides, what if we call and we make a bunch of reservations, and then at the last moment, everybody gets headaches and mm-hmm. no one shows up.
Yeah.
So that's their original plan. She starts calling, and you get to see, you see one phone call, and then she sends Ethel to call on the other line.
Right.
So that it's booked up, right?
The entire place booked up mm-hmm. with these phantom reservations.
And this is where we see Maurice. Yes, who is played by, Maurice is played by Maurice Marsac. He was born in France in 1915. There was like a little mix up. So in the script, his name was William.
Yeah.
And so at the very end, you know, the announcer, Roy Rowan, his voiceover credits, he says that the role of William was played by Maurice Marsac. But Gail Gordon, Mr. Littlefield, accidentally calls him Maurice. And so they just go with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You don't really the time of
like live,
it.
Right? Like, yeah. He wouldn't be like, oh, William, sir. Well, it kind of would have been funny.
Yeah. He didn't you know what, who that happens to is the guy who's always part of Ricky's band, who's actual Desi's friend, flips up and calls him Des a lot in the you know, apartment when they're doing the piano. But yeah, sort of like that. You just roll with it because it's live. You know, you don't do a retake. Yeah. So you just kind of go with it. He's very excited. There's a moment where the audience cheers him on after he gets done booking everybody.
He's got the two phones, right?
Yeah. So
mm-hmm. I think they cheer him on because he did a really good job. Like, you know, as a guest actor, he just kind of
going. Yeah.
He did it, right? Yeah. And so my question is, how do they remember all these? We'll talk about it in a second. Mr. Littlefield is just really excited that they're all booked out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is what happens when you hire someone with talent.
Oh, that's just mean.
Shots fired.
That's
so mean. Then there's one more call. It's Lucy again, pretending to be the Southern woman. I can't remember her name, but she asks and he goes, nope, we're all booked up. We can't do it. And so they.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I think it was it Mrs. McGillicuddy? Miss McGillicuddy?
Scarlett Culpepper was the Southern accent.
Ah, okay.
That was the last woman to call.
Okay.
And she got denied. And so that's how they knew, okay, we're done. And at that time, Fred and Ethel come up. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how they knew. Mm-hmm. But they come up and they're talking about, oh, how they're so exhausted, tired, blah, blah, blah. Lucy goes, well, this is going to make Ricky look really good. And this is when Fred points out there, although no one would be there and it would make him look bad, it wouldn't necessarily make Ricky look good. Yeah,
because the reasoning that they're not showing up is what's the impact.
Yeah, exactly. So then Lucy goes, okay, wait, we have to go there, have them see Ricky Ricardo's not there and then leave.
Right. And so they're like, well, they know who we are. They're, you know,
right.
They're
and going one to, table.
It's not going to
do anything.
Yeah. So he brings up that he has a quick change artist friend named Hal King, who in reality was the show's makeup artist and brother-in-law of the real Max Factor, who did Lucille Ball's makeup for ages, you know, entire career. And I mean, there's photos of him touching her up, you know, and doing all her makeup, but that's what's used on the chest of the costumes. So they have the chest there with the name and they're ready to do like a quick change. So we're going to be this couple. We're going to be the, you know, this lady, that lady, that man. The first and only time we see the entrance of the Tropicana. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've never seen that set before. So that's where they come in after changing, which looks like the back, maybe a backstage area. Well, the Tropicana wouldn't have a backstage. Well, I guess it would if it has a band, just sort of like along the side. I'm wondering where they changed though, because that looks like it's inside the club.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's supposed to just be like the hallway or maybe the alleyway outside. Because mm-hmm. it says like the Green Supply Company. So I'm guessing that that's like an alley that they run out to the back of the alley. The Green Supply Company's in honor of Bennett Green. Was Desi stand mm-hmm. in. And then actually, before we go too far on, a lot of the names in this mm-hmm. episode were from people.
Yes, I did notice that. Are part of the show in one way or another.
Yes.
The last names.
Harry Ackerman was the CBS vice president is the producer in the audition.
I know there was a Thompson.
Murray Thompson, mm-hmm. yeah, was the show's camera coordinator. And he appeared on camera once in Lucy Writes a Play as a stage manager. And then Mrs. Bennett is probably in reference to the camera and lighting stand in Bennett Green as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have Xavier Valdez.
Yeah, they do show a poster of who's going to replace Ricky. Who they're there to watch is Xavier Valdez.
For Xavier Cugat.
Yeah, Xavier Cugat was Desi's previous employer, and he's always thrown in there as sort of a rival, you know, to the Ricky Ricardo character, sort of like when Lucy says, I don't care, I wouldn't marry you if you were Xavier Cugat, you know, so it's always, they always do a reference of Xavier Cugat for that reason, sort of like a rival. They also did use another name for Valdez, which is another band leader that was the original Mr. Babalu before even Desi or Ricky Ricardo did it.
Miguelito?
Miguelito?
Yes.
Miguelito. Yes. They do quick changes, and I do have the characters that come in, you know, one after the other. You have the eccentric Countess Blubitsky with Hazel and her escort Frederica. And Hazel, of course, is a nod to Hazel Pierce. And Frederica is Fred as a woman. And you have stuffy Mrs. Worthington Proudfoot in Party. You have the very English Mr. and Mrs. Marion Chumley. And Miss McGillicuddy, a gumchewy Runyon-esque flues. That's what I have. Now, that one, I love. That's my favorite outfit of hers. She's got like the blonde hair. She's got that really cute.
I love her personality too. Yeah. Like, it's just the whole package is so great.
She's really good. She's really good. And so all of them are just aghast that Ricky's not there anymore. Ricky Ricardo isn't here anymore. Was there not a call that Lucy did her famous Tallulah Bankhead?
Hello, darling.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
She said, hello, Tropicana, darling.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see her show up at the restaurant. So basically, right. You know, it's in and out, in and out. Obviously, now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, oh, they didn't have to actually quick change. But now that I'm thinking about it, they probably did want to do, because it was live, so they probably wanted to quick change to an extent. I do know that a lot of quick changes, they'll do certain outfits so that they can just take off.
You can wear
two or three outfits
like
at a
Velcro
time.
Maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And but you'll wear like, so her shorter, Lucille's shorter outfit
mm-hmm.
could have been disguised or like covered up by the longer outfit that she had on before.
Underneath,
and then when
they
all come in wearing coats, mm-hmm. they probably didn't change, you know, maybe took out the bosom of Ethel
because it was
ginormous.
Right.
But anyways, they did the quick changes and they came in, found out Ricky Ricardo wasn't there, left. And they kept doing that until finally Mr. Littlefield was, oh, wait, we forgot to say that Miss Littlefield comes at one point.
So the place is empty, right? The place is empty because, you know, nobody's there. And of course, each one of these have huge parties with them. So like tables of 30, tables of 14, tables
17,
of 10. Yeah. So all these tables are now empty. And so Mr. Littlefield was losing his mind because the place is, now he's going to go broke. And so Mrs. Littlefield comes in and he's excited because there's a guest there. And it's like, oh, it's just you.
Oh, it's just you. She goes, oh.
And she's like, why is it, you know, why is it empty? And, you know, can you just look like you're enjoying yourself? Smile. And when she smiles, he's like, oh, no. Like, oh, my God, that poor woman just existing.
With him.
With
maybe.
Him. That's true.
With him. He decides, okay, listen, he asks Maurice, he says, please get Ricky on the phone. We have to get him back.
Because right? everyone's going to
go
yeah.
broke.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the next scene we see is there's Lucy, Ethel, and Fred, and they're all kind of just like relaxing, congratulating themselves.
Very proud of themselves.
The back because Ricky wrote a note that says he's going to go talk to
Mr. Littlefield. Mm-hmm.
And of course, he comes back. He's super excited. His ego might have gotten
the best
a little
of him.
Inflated there, right? Mm-hmm. In a the yeah. best of him. So he basically says, you know, He explains everything that they know, right?
Right.
And he says, and he offered me what was twice what I was getting or something like that. It's like a big raise.
Yeah, exactly. He said, well, guess how much? He said twice. No, three times as much.
And then he said, but I didn't take it. He's like, if I could, you know, if I was this popular there, I could write my ticket anywhere. And that's how it ends, guys. That's the end of the episode.
That's it.
And it's supposed to be like a cliffhanger.
Yes, because
we all know that he has that job next everyone season, so it's like, fine.
And this is the second time he gets fired from something when Lucy tries to help. But in the Hollywood one is where she's pretending to be his agent. And she calls and then they say, we don't want to stand in his way of. Yeah.
So this is the first of two times because that first of two times. On.
Yes. And so he also loses his job thanks to, you know, pretending to have bigger opportunities elsewhere.
He was a great agent in that one. And then in the French Review, Lucy tries to sneak into the Tropicana as well. And she's Miss Worthington Proudfoot.
Again,
so we do bring that back as well.
I wonder where she got that from. I would like to know what the Proudfoot is, or Worthington. Is there a reasoning for it?
But anyways, that is the end of season one, guys.
End of season
that
one.
That is how they ended it on a cliffhanger, right? Does he have a job? Are we gonna open to them being bums?
Season two, they're on the street like that dream that she has that you don't like.
And you don't like it either, do you?
No, I don't. It's very uncomfortable. It's unnecessary. But yes, thanks, guys, for listening with us through season one. We're going to take a couple of weeks off and then we'll start up again with season two. And we're really excited about that because it's the pregnancy season. Yeah, thank you for listening. If you guys want to listen back, we have, you know, interviews. We have movie reviews that Lucy's been in. We're probably going to do another one coming up soon too. And
we should do a poll, see what people want to.
Yeah. Would you want movie reviews, more Hollywood mysteries, an interview or two with, you know, Lucy page holders, things like that. But yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for listening. Our social media is Having a Ball Pod everywhere. And our email is havingaballpod@gmail.com.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.